Hello.
Hello, everyone. This is Yusuf.
And Genoa. And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well in podcast land.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. And we are about to get all robotic with the movie Bumblebee.
It is the 2018 movie, latest movie for Transformers. And based on the IMDb description, it tells the story on the run in the year 1987. Bumblebee finds refuge in a junkyard in a small California beach town. Charlie, on the cusp of turning 18 and trying to find her place in the world, discovers Bumblebee battle-scarred and broken.
Yeah, that's a good synopsis, actually.
That is a good, yeah.
yeah, and it stars Haley Steinfeld. Haley Steinfeld.
John Cena as the, like, evil military man.
Right. With a heart of gold, eventually.
Because of John Cena. He sees the light. And then George Lindbergh Jr.
All right. Yeah.
As the boy next door.
Yeah, the boy next
door. Instead of the girl next door, we have the boy next door, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Bumblebee.
And then Bumblebee, our main Transformer character.
And a couple bad robots also.
Right. Yeah. So as the film opens, it opens the way that we always hope a Transformer movie would open, which is we start off on the war in Cybertron. This sequence, I had a joygasm when I seen the opening sequence. This is Cybertron, the war on Cybertron between the Decepticons and the Autobots. This is about what all the Transformer movies did not portray or even show the war on Cybertron the way this movie did at the beginning sequence. I was hooked when I seen it. And all of the Transformers look like the old 80s version.
Cartoons,
cartoon version. Yeah.
You know, what we expect from our childhood to know and love and see.
Exactly. Yeah, like Starscream, Optimus looked like Optimus.
Right.
Bumblebee actually looked like Bumblebee. A Soundwave looked like Soundwave. Like, it was so awesome. It's like, the opening sequence was just amazing. I was like, okay, I'm in.
I mean, I have to say, there's been Transformers movies since 2007, so we're going on 12 years of them. Roughly coming out every 2 years. This is by far the best one of all of them, in my opinion.
I think they should have started the franchise with this movie.
Right. Well, they had to have some trial and error before they got to the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because then, you know, it just started being cash grabs, right? At a certain point, it's like, plot, whatever. Just throw some Transformers in.
I mean, I've seen all but two of them at the theater now. I didn't see the last night, and I didn't see Bumblebee because I didn't really believe the hype.
I'm sad I'm missing in the theater. It's like, oh damn, like I should have gave this movie my money.
So I mean, it's funny because when I was watching the movie, I was like, well, what's the difference between this? And the one thing that really stood out to me was, or two things that stood out to me. It was written by a woman. Mm-hmm. And then you had the main character not being like a dorky guy. It was a woman instead going through trouble. So
a teenager.
So I like those two things stood out to me. And then you pointed out also Michael Bay didn't direct it. So
right. Yeah. So you don't
have the Michael Bay shots that you have in all of the other ones, but I don't think he shot The Last Night, which I did.
I didn't even see The Last Night.
Well, you don't need to. It's a very confusing movie. I've seen it two or three times, and I'm still not sure what I've seen.
Wow. And I'm just amazed you've seen it two or three times.
You know.
Well, God bless you.
I mean, as we learned on our review of American Ninja, I'm a sucker for bad movies. Just keep watching to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, like, what were they thinking?
I'm like, wait a minute. Sir Anthony Tompkins in it. I know. He's just showing up for the paycheck.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he's wallpaper at this point in his career. But yeah, this right here, like, it takes place in 87, so you know the soundtrack is amazing.
It's awesome. It was like, oh my gosh.
All the good ones.
All the, like, the things that would have been on 120 minutes on MTV or alternative, all the music that I would have been, like, picked on as a kid to listen to.
So
I was
good.
Like, yes. There's a scene where she's trying to find, because Bumblebee's lost his voice, and is trying to learn how to communicate. And she's like, well, you can always communicate through music.
Right.
And so she's trying to find music for him to communicate with. And I think she picks either Morrissey or the Smiths.
The Smiths, yeah.
I was like, yes!
Nope.
And Bumblebee hated it. I was like, oh, Bumblebee.
He eventually learned to like the Smiths.
Yes.
And then, of course, like, the easy laugh gag, because he put in Never Gonna Give You Up.
Right, yeah.
He smissed that right out. I was like, hit her in the head. Never gonna give you.
Yeah.
Like, no, get that out of here.
I mean, he knew. Yeah. He knew.
Whatever, I still love that song. No, and look, don't act like you all out there wasn't rocking that song when it came out.
I'm sure anytime that song comes on, everyone gets up and dances.
Of course. And do like that, his like slow sway.
Shaking the dice.
Shimmy. The Rick shimmy. Oh, Lord. Yeah, no, but the soundtrack is really good. Really good, like, picks, like song picks from, like, you know, the 80s.
Yeah.
And they fit really well with the sequences. Yeah.
And the characters that they are telling their stories. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I really liked about this movie, it was smaller. It was more streamlined. And we had time to focus on, like, the characters.
It told a cohesive story.
Exactly. Simple. It was a simple story. It wasn't convoluted. It wasn't all these different subplots flying around.
Right.
It made it more intimate. It was more like the relationship between her and Bumblebee. And, like, this bond between outcasts, so to speak, that they, you know, build. And, yeah, it was like that, yeah.
The one part of the movie that I sort of didn't like was her backstory about her father dying and her feeling ostracized by the kids in the school. I don't think they needed that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, just her relationship with her parents and her brother would have been enough for me.
Right.
And the fact that they had to show, like, mean girls picking on her just felt a little too forced.
A little too cliche. Yeah. They could have chopped that cliche, like, off of it. Because we already knew, you know, she was hurting. We didn't need, like, the outside irrelevant girls, like, saying, you know,
your dad died. Poor you.
Yeah.
That's an asshole move.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I was waiting for, like, Bumblebee to, like,
knock him
with the door or something. Like, you know, then that would have been a payoff.
Right.
Know? But no, it's all good. Yeah. And then she was a
state champion
diver.
High diver.
High diver, right.
20 meter. Yeah.
Right. I was wondering when that was going to pay off, but it paid off. It paid off.
I do have to say, I fast forward through her high diving at the top at the end of the movie, because all I can think of was there's lots of debris in the water. She's going to hit the debris and break her neck. And I just can't watch that. And I know that's not, but logically, I know that's not how the movie would work out.
Exactly.
But scientifically, the paranoid person in me was she's going to break her neck when she hits debris. So I did fast forward through her diving into the debris filled water.
Okay, so your first mistake was trying to apply science logic to a Transformer movie. Okay. That was mistake number one.
So I have a fantastic conspiracy regarding the Transformer cartoon and movies.
Oh, hit me.
So, you know, have you seen people have the Transformer sticker on their trucks and cars?
Yeah, the Autobot
decals
or Decepticon decals, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what if 20, 30 years ago, we were invaded by robots and they partnered with the military and Hollywood to put these properties out? And so now when you see those cars around with the little stickers, you think they're stickers, but really they're aliens. I get bored in traffic.
Okay, so
Yusuf's not buying it.
No, hey, I'm just thinking about this as a movie. Like, so we need to write a treatment, send it to Michael Bay, and get paid. So there's our sequel.
Wait, what if that's how Bumblebee, the follow up to Bumblebee, is that they then partner with the military and Hollywood to put out properties to convince people that when you see cars with a little decal on it, it's just a sticker.
Man, deep dives there. Yeah, we got our tinfoil hats on today.
We spent a lot of time here in LA sitting in traffic, and you have to entertain yourself somehow.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Whoa. You think of conspiracy theories.
Okay, I think it's only one way to prove that, right? If you see like an Autobot decal or something, like get a brick or something like that to see, because if they're actually raw, they'll be like, whoa, like stop. Right. You got to break my glass.
But then that would be breaking. Revealing their secrets, so they wouldn't do that. They would just go and
okay. Here's the ultimate test: you pour gasoline all over the car.
Okay.
And you light the match and see if you're gonna hear a voice say, "Don't you burn me." Then you're like, "Oh, shit, it's all
right." And hope it's not my neighbor with a gun coming out to shoot me for burning up their car.
Then you can say, "Hey, your car talked. I think it was a
Autobot
or a Decepticon." And they're bad, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to test this theory. To see if Jared was right. If we still happen to, like, I don't know, go to jail for this, we're going to open up a Patreon if you want to donate to Bell, Gentleman, and use them out for said Autobot experiment. That will be appreciated. Thank you. All right. So, getting back to Bumblebee. I loved it. I loved the movie. John Cena was, you know, I was worried about John Cena. I didn't know if he was gonna kind of overdo like the John Cena is, but it was it was like the right balance.
He played like the good, bad,
yeah,
military dude that's very focused on getting his target, whatever it takes.
Exactly. Yeah, he played the just right. Played just right. Yeah. That's what I liked about it. It wasn't too much military that, like.
And at the end, when he comes around, he doesn't like completely come around. He's right. Like, okay, you guys saved my life. I appreciate this, but right. They're still aliens.
All right. He's like, okay, you're a good one. So I will leave you be. I will even salute you, sir.
Right. That was a little overkill, but yes. Yeah.
See, and this movie can be the blueprint for the G.I. Joe Transformer team up. Because if we reboot, G.I. Joe, what was John Cena's name in the movie? I forget. Or maybe he's like an alias, but his actual name is Duke. Boom, there you go. So you already have Duke in the movie. And he's part of a secret, not secret, he's a G.I. Joe is the special branch of the military, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so maybe the president come up to him and be like, oh, you know, we need a special military branch. Gather some people.
Was he in G.I. Joe?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, The Rock was.
Right, yeah. But John,
the second one.
John Johnson should totally be Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, there you go. See, then we have like the setup for a reboot of Transformers. Yeah. So we have Transformers
and G.I. Joe. Yeah.
Bam. See.
But his name was Agent Burns in Bumblebee, so he could be Duke Burns.
Possibly.
We're stretching here. Yeah.
Or he was like, oh, you know, Burns is an alias that I give to cloak my name of Duke.
Right. He's a secret G.I. Joe agent.
Yeah. Or maybe when he joins like G.I. Joe, he's like, okay, your code name is Duke.
Yeah. There you go.
See, we give you guys all of this awesome stuff. Good Lord.
The writer, Christina Hodson, props to her for not putting in a forced romance.
Sure.
I mean, the boy next door memo was interested in Charlie Haley's character.
Haley was like,
I'm not into the romance thing. Nah. I'm dealing with shit.
Yeah, I'm dealing with a robot here. Like, I'll see you later, dude.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he stumbled upon her, you know, trying to get Bumblebee like back to car form, that he was like, oh, what is right. this? You know, and then, oh, now I have to drag you into this right. adventure with me because you so happened to see my car that happened to be a Transformer. So, yeah, no, I really love what they did with this movie. It was, like I say, it was smaller, it was simpler, it was streamlined. And actually, they only had to, and Bumblebee only had to deal with two Decepticons. Which is cool. You know, Angela Bassett was the voice of
No.
She was the voice of the lady Decepticon.
Oh.
Yeah. I was wondering, I was like, that voice sounds so familiar. Who is it? And then I was like, oh, it's Angela Bassett. Also, I forgot the guy, the dude Decepticon, but
I don't know if it has it on IMDb for me to find that quickly.
Yeah, you probably need to really scroll. Right. So she was just the voice.
Yeah.
It was really good. I really liked it.
Oh, Dylan O'Brien played Bumblebee.
Huh.
For those of you that don't know who Dylan O'Brien is, he was in Teen Wolf on MTV. I know him from that.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. Also.
Optimus Prime was Peter Cullen.
Of course. Angela. He will always be Optimus.
Justin Theroux was Dropkick. Oh, Jennifer Aniston's ex. For those of you that don't know who that is.
Interesting. The more you know.
I mean, he was in a couple. He's been in some movies also, but we'll just go with Jennifer Aniston's ex.
Yeah, that's how I know him.
He was in Charlie's Angels.
Oh, cool. I didn't really keep Charlie's Angels in my head long enough to remember those actors. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I thought it was good.
I think it's actually playing on United right now, so you can easily watch it on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we're both smooth flying for this movie.
Totally. I mean, for the people who complain about the Transformer franchise, I admit it definitely fell from grace, but. This is a good return to form with the Transformers.
Good return. No, it's beyond better than all of the other ones.
Yeah, exactly.
And you actually like all the characters, even the characters that like John Cena's character, who you don't want to like at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because he's after the good guys. You end up liking at the end because he makes a transformation. Like all the characters have something that you like about
them. They have solid arcs that you can follow.
Yeah. Except for the mean girls, but whatever.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're irrelevant, so whatever.
Yeah,
John Cena kind of reminded me of the Tommy Lee Jones character in The Fugitive. Like he started like, oh, yes. I hate you. You try to catch Harrison Ford, you suck. And right. then, you know, at the end, he's like, you end up like, okay, you're good.
Right. I see what you were doing there. Right. You're actually a good guy. Got it. Okay.
So, yeah, you just want the truth. You don't care. That's what Tom Lee wanted. You know, like, once he found out that Harrison Ford didn't do it, he's like, okay, well, I don't need to chase you because you didn't do anything. So I definitely dug that. I hope. With the sequels, because they're going to do a sequel.
They have to.
Yeah, they maintain the feel, the tone, the story, the more intimate nature of Transformers, which I'm pretty sure they're not going to do, because sequels, have to go bigger and like more crazy.
Well, what they did right here was they focused on the relationship between the robot and the girl, and it wasn't about everything else. So as long as they continue to focus on a relationship. So at the end of the movie, Bumblebee does go leave the girl and goes off and does his own thing.
Right.
But they somehow need to continue to connect that relationship. Otherwise, it just feels like a bunch of CGI robots fighting for no apparent reason, which was basically the last night.
Totally. And some other previous Transformers. And that's the thing. I think why Bumblebee worked so well is it took the elements of the first Transformers and kept it it kept it compact and like a compact name. Just like with the Sam character in the first Transformers, right? So if you strip down the movie of Transformers, it's pretty much like a boy in his car.
Yes.
And everything else started getting crazy, right? But in Bumblebee, it's like a girl in her car, and they just kept it that way. It wasn't like, oh, it's the military craziness, and it's all this stuff, and then other subplots, and da 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 da. Like, they kept it solid. They kept it simple. And I think that's what they learned from the first Transformers. Like, yeah, the first Transformers is good. I really like the first Transformers. It's like, but, you know, if you strip...
I'm not a fan of Shia LaBeouf, so...
Me either, but, I mean, hey, that was our first... Yeah,
there were some funny scenes in it.
Yeah, I mean, they could have cut some of that kooky, crazy, you know, like, slapsticky stuff out. But the first one, for it to be the first introduction to movie form, I'm like, okay... Right. I'm on board. Okay, for the first attempt, bravo. But I think what they did with Bumblebee, they kind of like, okay.
They perfected it.
Yes. Yeah. And boom, there we go. Like, we don't have to have like a million Transformers being showed up. You know, right. Eventually, people don't care. You know?
Yeah, they, and like each subsequent Transformers movie, it was really, felt like an opportunity for them to introduce bigger and more Transformers, which I know, like, they did in the cartoons. But it felt forced in all the movies. Like,
oh, yeah, totally.
In the Age of Extinction. Where they introduced the dinosaur ones.
Oh, the Dinobots. Right. Yes.
Yeah, the best part of that movie was actually Stanley Tucci. The rest of that movie could have been cut out.
Yeah, he was in there, too. Wow.
I know, they keep casting some fantastic actors in these movies, and I'm just so confused by it.
Yeah, like I said, you know,
I did see that one at the movie theater.
It's like if Paramount's going to cut you a check during a Transformer movie, it's like, right.
I know, we all have bills to pay. I get it.
Exactly. That's why Anthony Hopkins was in last night. It's like, oh, okay.
Right.
Just, okay, whatever. I'll be in here. I'll sit around, deliver some dialogue.
Isn't he making a lot of money from the Avengers and Thor series?
Yeah. Yeah, the Thor trilogy, yeah. Even though he's dead now in Ragnarok.
Right.
But he's still getting the residuals, whatever.
Exactly.
See, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, let me get into a comic book movie or whatever, a Transformer franchise, because it'll make billions of dollars, and those checks going to keep coming. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I definitely dug Bumblebee.
Everyone go see it.
See it.
Also, support movies that are written by women, even when they're... I mean, the fact that this is a cartoon, comic book, whatever type movie written by a woman is really awesome.
Yeah. We have to support women behind the camera as well as in front of the camera. It's not just, oh, there's like women in front of the camera, let's support them. Like, look at the credits behind the camera, because they need support also.
Right.
Like the writers, the gaffers, the cinematographers, like, we need to support them also. So look at that also, because that's important. That's important. Exactly.
I made my mom and sister stay through all the credits in the last movie. And they're like, why? I'm like, just stay and read who's doing the stuff.
Exactly. Was it Captain Marvel that y'all
It was Captain Marvel.
So now, was it because y'all wanted to read the credits, or was it like, oh, there's like a post-credit scene?
Well, there's two post-credit scenes, but yeah. And I already knew what they were, but I still made, they didn't know what they were, so I made them stay.
Oh, of course. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another. But Bumblebee. So I recommend it. Smooth flying. You will enjoy it. If you enjoy the Transformers franchise, if you have not seen Bumblebee yet, please see this movie.
You don't need to see any of the other Transformers movies to enjoy this one.
Exactly. Matter of fact, if you haven't seen any Transformers, just see Bumblebee. Because it's a good, awesome, like, a hard standalone movie.
yeah,
exactly. That will spark a new storyline for the Transformers, because with this one, like, all the Autobots are not on Earth yet. So this is a good, like, prequel to all the Transformers.
How they all got here.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and please, I want to see more Cybertron Wars. That was such an awesome sequel. I had no idea that the movie was going to start off that way. I was like, oh, what is this? I'm like, then they show the planet and like lasers and stuff. Everybody fights like, and it takes Cybertron. I'm like, oh my god, it's Cybertron! And then, you know, Starscream on and flying around, and Optimus Prime like flipping, and we actually hear the transforming sound effect. Like we hear it. We hear it like 8-9 times. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. It was, as you can see, I was a little bit excited when I heard all this.
So Yusuf's a fanboy.
A little bit. Just a saying. Yeah. So it, like,
I was more G.I. Joe than Transformers growing up.
Me too.
So
me
too. I don't think of the fight, the intro to the, all the fighting. I was like, okay, yeah, sure.
Come on, you tell me you didn't get the tingles even when you heard the
I probably smiled, yes. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this movie is everything. They still didn't have the sound effects.
I was watching on the plane, and I know my seatmate kept looking over like, what is she watching?
So I'm watching awesomeness. Yeah. Yeah, so after that Cybertron sequence at the beginning, I'm like, okay, this movie could be horrible from here on out. I'm satisfied.
But it wasn't.
But it was even better than the Cybertron sequence in the beginning. And
for those people that are not familiar with Transformers, go ahead and wait till after that scene, and it has like a nice story.
Yeah. So that's like
if you're not bought into it in the first 5 minutes, give it a little extra time.
Yeah, you'll understand, right. Exactly. I mean,
you'll like it.
That's like the biggest action piece you're going to see. And that's weird because it starts off with like the biggest kind of action sequence you're going to see throughout the whole movie.
And then everything's about feelings.
Scaled down to more intimate. So, yeah. And it was a really good choice, actually. Yeah. I was like, cool. All right. So, you know, you gave me my high at the beginning. You know, I'm like, I got my Cybertron heroin, like, you know, injected in me. So I'm okay. I can sit on the couch and absorb the rest of it. So I'm already buzzed.
So guys, you can, this is definitely something you can get your girlfriends or vice versa to watch this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know I'm not atypical into chick flicks, but yeah, so I feel like a couple can watch this and there's something for both of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, from the music to the relationship between the girl and the Bumblebee. Robot. Yeah. You know, it has some, you know, good comedic, you know, elements in the mother. The
mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah, the mother, I forgot her name. She's in Better Things, the show on FX. I love her.
She plays a good mom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, the stepdad? there's a scene where it's Charlie's birthday and he gives her a book on how to smile. Oh my God. The number of times I've been told to smile, that scene, I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But it felt so appropriate for, like, you're going to make more friends if you smile. Fuck you.
Yeah, to tell this 18-year-old girl, like,
who listens to, like, the Smiths and Joy Division. No, that doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
The fact that she doesn't have, like, black makeup all over, and, I mean, she's doing pretty good.
I was really surprised, like, that they scaled her look. I thought she was going to be, like, super goth and just, like, F the world, I hate everybody kind of thing. I kind of like the thing.
She's a soft.
Yeah, she's soft, right. Yeah. So definitely Smooth Flight. Check it out. This is awesome. I love it. Jenna love it. You're going to love it. The world's going to love it.
Make more of these.
Please. And more sound effects. More Transformer sound effects, please.
And more 80s new wave music, please.
Thank you.
Right. So you can find us on your favorite podcasts on iTunes or Google Play. And if you want to reach out to us, use Facebook or Twitter.
And thanks for listening, all our old listeners, all our new listeners, all our listeners that's just coming in and enjoying our podcast. Thank you for joining, and
make sure you rate us. Please rate us. We have 0 stars right now on iTunes, so
really,
yeah, no one's rated us yet.
Although we had like 5.
I'm pretty sure when I checked yesterday we had 0.
Oh wow. Ratings help a lot, so definitely give us some ratings if you enjoy it. Leave some comments if you enjoy it. Yeah, and leave us comments and let us know what we can do for you as far as podcasts. If there are any movies that you want us to touch upon, you know, let us know. We're happy to do that for you.
And I think that's it.
I think that's it. Okay, well, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the week. Stay safe, and as always, we wish you safe travels and
peace.